You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Diamond District bonus hour on this Thursday, a week away from the NFL draft. NBA playoffs kind of sort of underway, although no action tonight. And final night of the NHL regular season, and then the playoffs start in earnest for both leagues this weekend. Just like the playoffs are getting underway, Mark, in the ECHL. In fact, I think they got underway last night, but Blades in action tonight. Going for a three-peat, baby. Do they need permission from Riley to
yes, put those shirts? Yes, as a matter of fact, they do. Maybe you could do three-peat and take the E out and put a puck there. I don't just do marketing advice. Every once in a while, I'll give you a little merch advice too, David.
So do you do the puck in place of the E or the A?
Probably the A.
And then I'm wondering then if you still have to share something with Riley.
Well, as a matter of fact, you always have to share something with Riley.
So, I mean, listen, Riley used to come over. He used to come over, stay at Sanibel Harbor. And he played a couple of exhibition games at what is now Hertz. Maybe Craig Brush could work something out. That's all. So we're hoping to hook up with the coach and general manager, Brad Ralph. They're in Jacksonville. They got here Tuesday. And they play tonight and Sunday afternoon. Games 1 and 2. Icemen have home ice advantage.
Thursday, Sunday?
Thursday night, Sunday at 3.
What the hell's going on in that arena Friday, Saturday? They couldn't get the good dates. I mean, there must be a concert or something going on there.
Well, I do know there's an indoor football team here. They have an arena football team here that actually people are moderately interested in. So I don't know. I'll have to check it out if it's a concert or if it's a arena football. So, but the Blades going for a three-peat. They finished the season strong. Swept the three-game homestand. And they needed to win 2 of the 3 to get in. So they got their goaltender back, Johnson. You know, they found this first-round pick who had quit hockey. He's back. They've got him on the power play. He's setting everybody up. All right. Made some deals at the deadline like they always do.
Here's the question, really the only question I have. Are you going to game 1 or 2?
I'm going to game 2. I'm granddaughter duty today, long shift too, 2.5 hours. Okay, so that'll take me, you know, past 6 o'clock. The game's at 7. I don't want to deal with it. So Sunday, 3 o'clock, baby. Game 2. I already told Craig Brush. I said, where are you going to be? I'll find you. You and me, baby.
Oh, he must be looking forward to that.
So, you know, I don't know if he can get his position down by the glass, but I'll be banging on the glass next to him. He'll be in the nice suit. You know, I'll have to check if I still have an Everblades golf shirt of some kind. That'll be something. Huh?
I know I don't.
Well, no. Well, you got fired. So
right,
if you get fired, you give all the stuff away.
Exactly. That all went right to Goodwill. So there's somebody that looks good in a lot of Everblade polos.
Right. I just moved. So, you know, very different.
So that's the Everblades get started tonight and Sunday, taking on Jacksonville in the first round of the ECHL playoffs. Trying to catch up with Brad Ralph. Don't know if we'll be able to do that today or not. We talked a little Florida Panthers on the show today. They get going with the Lightning on Sunday. The Heat, a loser last night in the play-in game. They now will take on Chicago with a shot to make the postseason in the NBA. So that's a little of what's going on in and around the sports world as we get going here in the bonus hour. And Brad Ralph now joins us in the bonus hour. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. Doing great. It's a great day for hockey and playoff hockey at that.
Now, listen, we're a little pressed on time now because we hooked up late. So you faced these guys in the playoffs last year, but obviously things changed with rosters dramatically. How do you feel about your team entering the playoffs? You had a great final homestand.
Yeah, we're Jackson's biggest rival, Jacksonville's biggest rival. So they're gigged up. You know, we've eliminated them from playoffs. I think every year they've been in playoffs. So we're not well liked, but that's okay. we've got a good team here. Like you said, the guys have been rolling here the last couple of weeks. It's been a lot of fun, and they're all really excited to, you know, not only just play in playoffs, but have a chance to win another Kelly Cup. So we're in a great spot, and we know it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a grind, and we're up for the challenge.
Any advantage at all for you guys, the fact that you had to play last weekend like it was the playoffs just to qualify? I mean, it seems that you already flipped to playoff mode maybe a week before Jacksonville did.
Yeah, you know, we have a target on our back, it seems like, every year. So we get every team's best. I think it does prepare us for playoffs where it demands that we play a high quality of hockey all year long. And we took it to another level the last couple weeks, like you said, to get into playoffs. So we're ready. We know the intensity that's in front of us here tonight, and not much has to change for us, and I think that's a great thing.
So going for a three-peat, has that been a burden, or has that been actually like the inspiration? Like when you begin the playoffs, as you said, they hate you. You've got a bullseye on you guys, but at the same time, Coach, I mean, your guys' confidence, no organization could be more confident than you.
Yeah, no doubt there's a level of confidence that comes with, you know, winning back-to-back champions and championships. And we have, I think, 8 or 9 guys that have done it. So there's that. The three-peat is, I don't want to say it's a little whimsical, right? It's a hope, it's a dream, it's out there, but the reality is you've got to win the game in front of you. So, I think we'd all love to be a part of history and be the first team to win 3 cups in a row. But, you know, we've got to stay in the moment here and focus on game one. And it's really not something that we talk a lot about internally, although we all know it's there.
All right, where can you take advantage of this Jacksonville team? Is it 5-on-5? Do you have to? I mean, obviously you got to stay out of the box, but do you think you're a team that can play more 5-on-5 with them, or do you think this is a game against the special teams? We're going to have an advantage.
Well, they're the most disciplined team in the league. They take the least amount of penalties. They're number one in terms of the least amount of turnovers. So they're a very disciplined hockey team. They're hardworking, strong defensive team. We're going to have to be comfortable in low-scoring games, and we're going to have to be, mentally strong and just relentless. That's the series. If you get into special teams, like I think both teams at this point have a good power play. Both teams' penalty kill is adequate. So, that depends on how the series goes and who keeps their composure in terms of, taking penalties. But, it's going to be – I think we were first and they were second in goals against in the league. So, two of the best defensive teams in the league going head-to-head here. It should be a low-scoring affair. And you just have to – you have to welcome that.
Coach and general manager of the Florida Everblades, Brad Ralph, joining us. They begin their playoff march tonight in Jacksonville, game 2, Sunday at 3. And then the Blades will be home next week, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, games 3, 4, and 5. Listen, if it goes according to Hoyle, where the games are close, intense, low scoring, I mean, you got the best goalie. I mean, come on, there are other great goalies in the league, but I mean, come on, your guy's been the backstop for 2 cups. I mean, he's the best, right? Until proven otherwise. It's kind of like Tampa Bay with Vasilevsky, right?
We have, the utmost confidence in Cam, but there's a lot of guys in front of him that have to do a great job as well. So, he is our last line of defense, and we trust him wholeheartedly with some of the toughest situations, but we've got to do a heck of a job in front of him You know, give him some run support, number one. Number two, just eliminate any odd man rushes and stay off the penalty kill. If we can do those three things and let him, you know, mop it up from the back end, we'll be in good shape.
You know, you guys have been the gold standard of the league pretty much since inception as far as attendance and a lot of other things. Now you go up into Jacksonville, they're actually going to have crowds. Are you guys going to feed off of their crowd? Because for so long, teams fed off the crowd. You know, the Everblades had to deal with the other team feeding off a plane in front of a packed house, which they don't do at home. Jacksonville led the league in attendance. Can you guys play off of their crowd at all?
I mean, internally, we'll say things like, we can silence the crowd, let's send them home unhappy, stuff like that. But, I mean, it's an advantage for them. You know what I mean? They were the higher seed. They have home ice advantage here in the series. They get great crowds, like you said. So that's an advantage for them that we have to just manage the momentum, right? Not give their fans anything to rally behind or their team.
Coach, thanks for fitting us in. All right. Have a good morning skate and a good game one, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Brad Ralph, head coach and general manager of the Florida Everblades. They got to Jacksonville Tuesday. So, and they're going to be here damn near a week. Ain't getting on the bus till Sunday night.
Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, games 3, 4, and 5 back at Hertz Arena. For the Blades, game 5, obviously, if necessary.
Absolute torture for the new number one Everblades fan, Pat Kerwin.
I was going to say, we're bringing Pat on next, right, to talk about the Everblades.
Right, he'll break the series down, right. We'll have him on next.
But the fact that it's going to be during the draft and he has to miss 2 games is going to crush him.
And he's going to try desperately to not miss but 1 game. That's the funny thing. I am willing to bet a large amount of money that he is doing his travel schedule to the NFL draft. The number one thing he does outside of Super Bowl media week all year on NFL radio, he is booking his travel around the Everblades first round playoff series against Jacksonville.
You think he's leaving Thursday morning is what you're saying?
Absolutely. I'm willing to bet. And he's leaving Saturday, mid final day of the draft, to get home for game 5.
Well, think about it. A lot of direct flights daily, yep, from Detroit to Southwest Florida.
Yep. I'm willing to bet a large amount of money he's only missing game 4 on Friday. NFL draft, Everblades. Everblades win.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
So back-to-back hockey segments on the show. Got a big in-state playoff thing going on. Florida, Tampa Bay in the NHL, Everblades in Jacksonville in the Echo. Panthers have never beaten the Lightning in the playoffs. Icemen have never beaten the Blades in the playoffs. Panthers and Icemen both have home ice in their respective series. Blades have the Kelly Cups. And Lightning have the Stanley Cups.
Right. Jacksonville owned the Everblades in the regular season this year.
Yes, they did. They faltered late, though. They pulled the Bruins. They were in the lead of the division most of the year, screwed it up late. So they finished second. That's why they drew the third-place Blades.
How many Iceman games have you taken in this year?
None.
That's the same number. No, I did a few Blades games this year. Did one with the family, did one with Pat.
So
I may head over. Now I got a free Wednesday next week. I may do game 3.
Okay.
Good chance I'll do game 3.
All right. I'm doing game 2 Sunday afternoon. Although, wait a minute. That's the same time as the Rangers. You know what? I'll go to the game. Come on, if the Rangers can't beat the Capitals.
What's your pick for that series, David? How many
games?
It's
the same time as Lightning Panthers, isn't it?
Oh, is it really?
Well, what time are they playing game 2?
I thought they were playing the
You said Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it is. It's Sunday afternoon. I don't know why they're playing Sunday afternoon.
But the Lightning Panthers are 12:30.
Okay, so there you go. I'll watch I'll watch two. I'll buy my tickets online. I'll watch like 2.5 periods, and I'll head over. Or maybe I'll head over, you know, after two periods and then watch the third somewhere. I've never been to a Jacksonville Iceman game.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I have not. And the funny thing is, I know the owner. I do. Bob Arablo. Got his phone number and everything.
You gonna call him for tickets?
It's not a bad idea. Actually, no, I'll send him a text and I'll say, listen, I'm donating to your grandkids' fund for game two. Okay, game five or seven, I may be hitting you up.
Trent, we need press credentials for next week.
I never heard back.
No, I mean Everblade. So since we're not getting the big boy ones.
So, oh, good. So you're one of those. You reached out one time. You didn't hear from him, and you went, oh, well.
No, I followed up. I did follow up last week. I didn't never heard anything from
last
the Florida
week,
Panthers.
We did 2 months ago we told you we had to do this. You can't call an NHL team 5 days before the playoffs
no.
and go, hey, this is Trent from Miller and Moulton. Just wondering. I mean, are you kidding?
I put it in a month ago when we talked about it. I followed up last week. I'm not getting away with this. There's
no, you're not.
Here's the deal.
No,
here's
I will say deal. You did better than your predecessor because you at least sent the email.
I mean, we actually thought it was going to be the opposite with Felipe. We thought he was going to hound the Heat so much that we were going to get a court order for us urging us to stop. Okay, and he never even sent an email. Okay, this just in. Pursue credentials the way you would pursue a job. And I'm being very serious.
So that means start on the Dolphins and Buccaneers
now,
like today.
After the show.
For those of you listening, we apologize for the schooling of Trent during the bonus hour, but sometimes these things have to happen because I leave right after the show and David's in Jacksonville and he leaves as soon as I cut him off.
Right. Usually by the second. And another thing, Mark just goes, this is over.
leave studio. Time to go. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. So, you know, we didn't talk much about it today. We mentioned it once. Maybe it's because this story was just so obvious, right? This Jontay Porter, Toronto Raptors thing. I mean, they found evidence that he bet on NBA games, never bet on a game he played in, but actually bet on NBA games and bet against his team in games that he didn't play in.
He gone. I
mean, Hawk, I'm sorry, what?
He gone.
I mean, listen, we all have vices. We all have things that we do and we know we're screwing up as we're doing them. You know, it could be all different things. But you're in the NBA, okay? You're making real money. This isn't Trent looking for a boost and a sprinkle. I mean, this even Jontay Porter. Jontay Porter is 3 years in the league making the minimum. He earned like $2.2 million. He lost his career over $22,000 in winnings.
I mean, if it's not the pinnacle story as to why players don't need to gamble.
My goodness.
This is just really simple. On one side of the ledger, you show what he made. On the other, you show what he made gambling.
I think this is the Miller and Moulton snark in me, the effect that you guys have rubbed off. What if Jontay Porter had a translator? Would he be just fine?
In this case, no, because he was dumb enough to open up the account in his own name. And then they were able to trace another account back to him.
But what if it was interpreter? It was my interpreter. I had nothing to do with it.
No, it wasn't. See, there's nothing attaching Ohtani to Mizuhara's gambling. Okay? They have direct correlation. First of all, Jontay Porter didn't even change his name. He had a DraftKings account. Okay? But that was legal. But then he set up a dummy account, and it connects directly to, wait for it, Jonte Porter. It needs to connect to Mizuhara.
He's a better gambler than he is conspirator. Because he actually won. I mean, you got to give him credit. At least he won a little money. Unlike the translator who lost everything.
Yeah, he did.
He won 1% of his career earnings. Literally, almost to the penny. It's like 1%. And it's staggering how stupid this is. This is not, he didn't bet Mattress Mack, David Portnoy money. If you're going to risk your career, don't you have to risk your career?
And why would he think that these little bets would go unnoticed? One thing about legalized gambling. And I think this should ease people's minds when they come to thinking games are not on the up and up. They're catching anybody that's doing anything wrong.
Exactly. The common media thread that you heard yesterday was, well, see, with all the proliferation of gambling, okay, you're going to have stories like this. Yeah, you know why he got caught? Because it's all legal and it's tracked. That's why it's caught.
If we want to do the epitaph or the eulogy, whatever you want to call it, Jonte Porter played 37 games in his career. Played 11 minutes a game and averaged 3.5 points. 3.7, let's be fair. Round up a little bit.
4 points, come on.
Yeah, 4 points. Four a game.
The guy's career's over, okay?
But, I mean, when they were fixing games, you know, the big mob fix with the Boston College game in, what was it, the early 80s?
Mm-hmm.
With the Goodfellas crew, and Jimmy Conway was the mastermind behind that. They didn't find that out right away. They found that out much later. The games weren't on the up and up. We're finding this out damn near in real time.
Yeah, they got the days, the amount that he bet. They got it everything. All happened January through March. It's April.
At least he jumped through one hoop and made the extra account. Problem is, he didn't think two steps ahead.
He's an idiot.
Unbelievable.
It reminds me of that old PSA. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
I need a fried egg now.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes till the top of the hour, 16 until we're out of here. Pat Kerwin on the show tomorrow. Because we'll be less than a week away from the draft. And, we'll talk a little Heat tomorrow facing elimination. And we'll talk a little Lightning Panthers tomorrow as well from the Lightning perspective.
Fired up for this Florida series.
I really am.
Should be terrific. Can the Panthers do what they've not done before, and that's take out the Lightning in the postseason?
It kind of feels like Purdue basketball with them this year. It's like, if you don't do it this year, when are you going to do it?
What?
Everything's Big Ten.
What?
Everything in the world with him is Big Ten. The Lightning and the Panthers feels like Purdue basketball.
There's nothing. There's nothing enough on this earth that feels like Purdue basketball.
We know what you're saying. Okay, we all make analogies if you do sports talk. We get it. We just love the fact that every single analogy is Big Ten / Lions.
Or Pistons. Don't forget Pistons. Yeah,
I will say we have beaten him into submission about the Pistons largely, although now that it's playoffs, he start referring to days when the Pistons made the playoffs.
Bingo. Bingo.
I had to take a month off from mentioning that team. Come on.
Yes.
Yes.
They lost 68 games.
Yes.
You should take a decade off.
The Lions won as many games this year as the Pistons.
Yes, they did, and they were 30 minutes away from winning more. They would have won 15 games.
Right.
God.
And what? You're acting like it's a big sacrifice. You know, I didn't talk about the 14 and 68 Pistons for a whole month. First off, you only didn't talk about them because you lost a bet.
Right.
And you weren't allowed to.
You guys were huge.
You know, the Lightning and the Panthers feel an awful lot like Purdue basketball. Oh, for goodness sakes. They don't talk this much Big Ten on the Big Ten Network.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
1775 we start. This guy named Revere gave some warnings.
Were people listening?
Well, seems that they were. 1906, the San Francisco earthquake. 4,000 died, 75% of the city destroyed. It was today in 1935 that Gene Sarensen scored an albatross on the 15th to win his second Masters.
And when, you know, they didn't have the scoreboards then, and some kid came running back and he said Sarensen had a 2 on 15. And they're going, no, 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 he had a 2 on 16, the par 3. Kid's going, no, he had a 2 on 15. They didn't believe him.
Sandy Koufax was pretty good. This just in. Today in 64, he struck out the side on 9 pitches.
Tough to do better.
Really is. Bill Russell became the first African-American coach in the NBA today in 1966.
Player coach.
I love the player coach. Today in 1981 was the longest game in baseball history, Pawtucket versus Rochester. It was tied after 32, and they ended the game in, like, June.
Right. They picked it up, like, 2 months later. Ripken and Boggs, because it was Pawtucket, Sox, Rochester, Orioles.
32?
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. How many innings?
Oh, in the 30s.
32.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail. I just had to make sure I got that right.
Yeah. Joe Montana announced his retirement today in 95. Peyton Manning was picked first overall today in 98. And the great one, Wayne Gretzky, played in his last game today in 1999. Actor James Woods is 77. Nate Archibald, 76. Race car driver Jeff Bodine, 75. Actor Eric Roberts is 68 and Conan, 61. What did I miss, David?
1,740 fans were in attendance for the Rochester Red Wings and Pawtucket Red Sox on April 18th, 1981. There was problems with the light towers. The game didn't start on time. It started 30 minutes late. First pitch, 8:02. Boggs and Ripken in the game. Yep. Went 33 innings, 31 at once, and then they played two more. Dick Clark died today 12 years ago. And yet they still call it Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Because Dick Clark still owns it.
I understand, but I mean that's pretty egotistical when you think about it.
How can you be egotistical when you're dead?
Well, you insist that your name's still on it? It can't just be New Year's Rockin' Eve?
Well, I mean, it's the Heisman Trophy, the Larry O'Brien Trophy, the Lombardi Trophy. I mean, come on.
Well, no. First off, the Downtown Athletic Club decided to name it the Heisman Trophy after John Heisman. The NBA decided, this is Dick Clark saying that for as long as my company is producing this show, my name will be on it. Yeah, but Dick, what happens when you die?
It's Dick my Clark's name. Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Right. I'm just saying that seems, that's like the Ohio State University. I mean, when you think
it's more
it.
Like Joe Robbie Stadium, my favorite stadium of all time. Why are you calling it Joe Robbie? Because I built the damn thing.
Yeah, and he paid for it. I totally get it. And he was alive. Now, when he died, the only reason it was still called Joe Robbie was because they couldn't find a sponsor. As soon as they found a sponsor, he took his name off the stadium. You don't think it's a little odd that 12 years after his death, it's still Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve?
It's an homage to the man who carried the torch for so many years for so many of us. I don't like your hatred of Dick Clark today. I'm a little bothered by
it. Oh, my goodness. It's not a hatred of Dick Clark.
You just said, how egotistical is he? What the hell else would you call
it? And come on now. It's a little bit. It's not Dick Clark's $25,000 pyramid. Okay? I mean, come on. A little bit. A little good fellas here. A little bit. Come on.
Drinks are on. The house.
It's like calling this. No. Seriously. It would be one of us dies. Trent replaces us. We still call the show Miller and Malt. I'm just thinking, saying it's a little obnoxious.
You know what? Next contract, I'm going for naming rights.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
You can have them.
Negotiation done.
For the good, we go across the pond. 29-year-old Megan Brown was going to whiskey tastings. Apparently, she noticed she was picking up a lot more flavors and notes than her more experienced male counterparts. Apparently, research over the last few decades has suggested that women have more taste buds and are more likely than men to be super tasters. She has become a super taster. She is now the director of the independent bottler and whiskey blending company and now turned into a whole career in booze. I'm very jealous and proud all at the same time. Way to go, Megan.
A super taster.
A super taster. You could be that for fast food.
I think I am. In fact, I think I'm such
quite
an
a nose. Quite a nose. It has the aroma of a McDonald's quarter pounder, but yet the size of an In-N-Out burger.
I mean, I actually think I can set the criteria for the qualification.
For the bad, we come back to Florida and Naples to be specific. It was back on March 8th that Alejandro Otero's roof was hit by an object. They wondered what it was. The sound of the crash was recorded by the homeowner's Ring camera. And it was confirmed that the object that crashed through the roof of the home was garbage from the International Space Station.
Damn.
Right.
That's a bad day.
What do you get if the space station blanks on your house? I mean, that's really what it is, you know? I mean,
it blanked on my car one time.
Okay, really?
It was all over our driveway, and we had two cars, and it was all over both of them. It was the most horrendous smelling thing I'd ever seen.
Finally, the ugly, we go to Clearwater, where John Beckwith is the captain of the Clearwater Fun Boat. And he was having a little bit too much fun because he fell off the vessel just before 2 p.m. while he was taking 30 people on a boat tour. He was hammered. He failed his field sobriety exercises and provided a breath sample of 0.118. That's above the 0.08. legal limit in Florida. The captain was arrested on the spot. And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, April the 18th, 2024.
No NBA tonight. The two elimination games are tomorrow. There are six mostly meaningless games in the NHL. Believe it or not, playoff positioning to be determined out west. Vegas is in third place. The Kings are a point behind them. Whoever finishes third plays Edmonton in the first round. Whoever finishes as the wild card plays the Dallas Stars. Although there's a chance if the Kings win in regulation, they'd be tied with Nashville, and they would drop Nashville down to the second wild card. So Nashville would play Dallas and the Kings would play Vancouver. So anyway, the two games that have meaning are both out west, and both the teams are home and expected to win big. They're both like minus 380. So there.
Little day baseball today. Rays hosting the Angels, a 1 o'clock game for them. The Marlins are in Chicago taking on the Cubs. Bet the Cubs.
Trent, your Tigers, little 1 o'clock game against Texas. So a little day baseball for you. You know, lay out by the pool, you know, have the college ladies around. I mean, nothing like a 1 o'clock baseball game, you know.
Right.
Turn your transistor radio up.
I'm going to say the same thing. Instead of doing it like you do now, go old school. Put a little transistor radio out there. Put the ball game on. They should flock to you.
If only Ernie Harwell was still in the booth. Although Dan Dickerson is fantastic. Very good.
Yeah, we were lucky. We had Ernie. We had Harry Callis on. Okay, we had a couple of the great legends back in our first act. Red Sox on Nesson at 1:30 today against the Guardians. So five games in Major League Baseball, three of them in the afternoon. If you really want to watch a baseball game tonight, FS1, 9:30, Arizona and the Giants.
Yeah, you'd really have to want to watch a baseball game to stay up till midnight to
right.
watch that.
Yeah, no Randy Johnson, no Barry Bonds tonight for the Arizona Giants game, just so you know. Not nearly the draw it used to be.
Battle for third place in the NL West.
Should right. we put a little action on it so that we at least might watch some of it? Come on.
Look at Trent wanting to sprinkle at the end
Humor
of the show.
Humor me. Let's do it.
I'll tell you what. You know what? You want to sprinkle the Tigers today, okay? Because Texas is trying to win three out of four in the series, okay? Jack Leiter making his Major League debut today for the Texas Rangers. Al Leiter's kid, second overall pick of the draft a couple years ago.
Done. Tigers have been bet.
So
don't have to ask me twice.
Mark, he places bets like it's running the 40-yard dash. It's just like, boom, done.
Places bets like he's Jonte Porter, for goodness sakes. Minus the winning.
And minus the alias on the second account. No shame. Mark Miller, placing bets.
We need a little run. We need a little baseball run. Get this account back up to even.
I know, March Madness killed us. All the good work we did during the college basketball season for 4 months, we have just drained it since.
When's the next doubleheader? We have a system.
You know, and there was a doubleheader yesterday, and we didn't bet it.
Was it a split?
It was a split. Kansas City and the White Sox.
That's on us. That's on us. That's on all of us. Everybody's at fault for that. Wait till the first game the doubleheader's over. Bet the other way in the second.
I can't blame Trent for that, and I'd like to, okay? And not only that, that Kansas City White Sox double dip, I think it was on Big Ten Network.